This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast. Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about shelters. Basically, when I sleep, I like to be warm and not eaten by bears and not laying in a puddle of water. Those are what I look for in a shelter. I don't know, you know, to each his own, right? I also don't like when people come up and like stab me while I'm sleeping. That's another, you know, negative for me. So like a shelter should hopefully, you know, find some way to protect you from those certain things. When you pick out a neat place to like hunker down for the night, there are certain things you need to look at. And it varies on, you know, what's important. Are you building something long term, or are you building something for tonight? You know, are you on the move? Do you have a tarp with you? A lot of people, when they go in the woods, will carry a, like at least a poncho or something like that to have that extra sheet of plastic for shelter building. That's going to, you know, do a little bit to help keep you dry and that kind of thing. So that's always important. But you need to look around the area and see, you know, where is going to be a good spot that's good for you. Now, a lot of people like to do their shelters near resources that are available to them. And what I mean by that is like water or food, or, you know, you're going to be, you know, hey, I want to be by where the animals are so I can get some dinner. I want to be, you know, by the creek so I don't have to go far to get water, to get a drink, that kind of stuff. But you also need to think about, all right, is that creek going to rise up when, you know, the tide comes in? Is the, you know, because some rivers are connected to oceans, turns out. Or, you know, is it going to rain and everything's going to come down off the mountain and rise that creek up? You know, that kind of stuff. It's important to be aware of what's around you and what's, you know, going on. Another thing to look out for is like, what's the insect situation going to be there? You know, is there a bee's nest or a hornet's nest right by? That kind of thing. Just things to look at and be aware of. But with that said, we had a listener, V8 in Portugal, who, you know, said, hey, can you guys talk about shelters? He actually mentioned maybe even stealth camping and that kind of thing. And I hate to say it, we did an episode called Stealth Survival, Hiding Out in the Woods, a while back. So you may want to go back and revisit that if you're looking for the kind of urban hiding and not so urban stealth shelters. We definitely got down into that. But
I think that, you know, a lot of that stealth camping is, you know, it's really just getting off the beaten trail. If you're trying to hide out, you can hike down a trail that 1,000 people are hiking on every day. And if you go 100 yards off in one direction, you know, you're going to be pretty covered up. You just want to make sure that your fire is not, you know, not going to be showing. You want to make sure that your tarp is going to blend in, or your tent is going to blend in with the foliage and the underbrush. And, you know, I think just any sort of survival shelter building can be stealth camping too.
Yeah. Well, that's like where that like Dakota Fire Hole might come into play, or, you know, different stuff. Again, you're going to do your setup different for what your goals are. You know, are you hiding out on the run, you know, from whatever bad guys are chasing you down, whatever, or are you just lost in the woods? Or are you saying, you know what, I'm done with the world and I'm going to go to my, in the middle of the woods, and I'm just going to go be happy and live like, I don't know, the guy with the bear. And Grizzly Adams, that'd be the one.
Grizzly Adams.
And, you know, whatever. Whatever you want to do. Everybody, your goals, you know, dictate what it's going to be. And again, a lot of times people will do a temporary shelter. And then live there while they're working on their other. You know, you need to be aware of, I know when we were in Boy Scouts, they used to, the big thing was, you know, digging the trench around the tent. And, you know, if it rained, you did not want the water coming in and where it's going to be. But again, you can kind of look at the weather and see what you're up against. You know, you definitely have different levels of protection that might be required based on the weather and what's going on. And like I said, and on your goals, you know, or are you hiding from someone? What are you trying to avoid? What do you need shelter from? That matters in what you choose. But there are a lot of different types of shelters, and I guess we can kind of just jump right in and see what we can do. Now, most people, when you think of like Boy Scouts and like that, basic shelters, one of the simplest ways is a lean-to. And that's definitely like a key starting point. You had a couple of scenarios with lean-tos, Kevin?
Yeah, now I, you know, whenever I go out camping, I always bring a tent with me, you know, a one-man tent or whatever. I bring a tarp with me, paracord. You know, you don't have to be a vagrant. You can bring a tent with you. It's okay to do that. Me, I'm like a dirty hillbilly, so I've definitely slept on the ground without any tent, without any fire, you know, and whatever, it's fine. You're not going to die, but the bugs are going to fucking eat you up, you know, and the temperature at night is going to drop a lot. So even if it's 80 degrees, you know, when you're hiking up or hiking out, you need to plan on it dropping, you know, a good 15, 20 degrees at night. And obviously that's a lot different in different climates. Desert, you know, desert areas is going to drop, you know, 30, 40 degrees at night. And places where it's a little bit chilly, you know, when it's wintertime, winter camping, and it's 25 degrees and you set up your spot, you don't want to end up sleeping on the ground because it's going to get real cold real fast. So the biggest things you want to do is keep the rain off of you, keep the insects off of you, and have some sort of separation between you and the ground. You know, you don't want to be sleeping directly on the ground if you can help it.
Right. I mean, everyone always talks about the camp roll.
Right.
You know, having like that inch thick pad. There's definitely things in nature that you can find.
Yeah. Right. Right. I usually, you know, bring a roll with me, you know, a foam mat if it's going to be cold out. But you can do things like pine browse. You know, you can pile up leaves. Something to make a little bit of insulation between your body and the ground.
Now, I did some quick research, and there's a company called Duluth Pack that makes a bedroll. Now, it is made in America, However, this bedroll is a piece of canvas for $440. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of you big rollers may be your thing. I don't know.
Yeah, you can also buy a piece of stone foam from Walmart for $8.99. So, I mean, whatever.
It could go either way. Yeah, but this one kind of looks cool. It's got like a little seal, some straps with buckles.
And it's got it's got leather straps. Oh, man, the shit looks fancy as fuck.
Yeah.
But
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but what I mean, if you don't spend a lot of time outdoors, hiking, camping, that sort of stuff, you might not realize how big of a difference it makes to really have that separation between you and the ground, you know, even if it's something simple, like I said, like piling up some leaves. I know a lot of people talk about the pine boughs. I'm not a huge fan of that because as soft as you think you're making them and as much as you think you're getting the hard sticks out of there, something's going to be stabbing you in the ass all night. So, yeah. You know, keep that in mind. If that's the only option you got, then that's what you got. But if you can do something to mitigate that before leaving your house and before heading out, you might want to think about bringing something with you. Now, when it comes to basic shelter building, you can do this with some paracord and tarp. And there's about 15, 20 different options. So we'll run over some of the basics with the tarp and the paracord stuff.
All right.
For an A-frame or for a lean-to, let's start with a lean-to. You're going to want to run a basic guide wire, you know, between say two trees. You know, you want it really taut, you want it really tight, and that's going to be your basis for most of the tarp and the paracord shelter building. So with an A-frame or with a lean-to, that's pretty basic. You know what I mean? You're going to tie the one end of the tarp up. And then you're going to stretch the tarp all the way out and down to the ground. And, you know, it's real simple to do, real easy. It's not going to, you know, separate you from the ground. It's only going to have one wall. It's basically a windbreak and it's going to keep the rain off your head. And real easy to do. You can get one set up in about 15, 20 minutes and you're ready to go. A-frame is similar, except instead of going from, you know, one end of the tarp from the guide wire, you're going to put the guide wire in the middle of the tarp and, you know, bring it down to the ground on each side. Now that's, it's pretty good doing it, you know, that's pretty basic setup. It's not going to be as tall. You're not going to be able to stand up in there, but you're going to be covered on two sides. You can have, you know, a fire right in front of you. And you can stay warm most of the night, you know, doing that, keeping your gear dry and keeping yourself dry. My favorite one to do, it's a lot smaller, but it's basically a C frame. So what you're going to do is you're going to leave about 2 feet overhanging on your guide wire, and then stretch the tarp out. And you're going to stake it down in the middle and then tuck the remaining underneath you. So it's laying flat on the ground.
Okay.
That way you have something that's, you know, it's going to keep the insects from climbing up on your face while you're sleeping. It's going to give you a little bit of protection from the ground. And it's also going to give you an overhang on top.
Okay.
Now, this is really going to keep the rain and the wind off of you. And it's good for setting up a fire right in front.
And it does, you know, require a little bit bigger tarp.
Right. And it requires
you to do less some space for you
and some lines out. You're really going to have to fold it up a little bit. You know, it's basically like an origami, you know, with tarps. The bigger tarp you have, the better you're going to be able to do. But if you're going by yourself, you know, a 10-foot by 10-foot tarp should be bigger than what you need.
Right. No, I agree with that.
The Adirondack shelter. That's okay. Basically, it's shaped like two triangles against each other. You know, so you're gonna have a triangle open, and everything's gonna go down to a point at the end. So you're gonna have three walls on that. So you basically want a triangle shaped tarp. So what you're going to do is you're just going to fold it corner to corner to make a triangle. And then all three of those corners go down to the ground with an opening on the face. It's a little bit more difficult. It doesn't give you a whole lot better protection than any of the other ones, aside of the fact that you're going to have three sides enclosed. It's good for, you know, cold weather, but you're also going to be doubling up the tarp, so you're not going to be able to have as big of a space inside the tarp. You're not going to be able to stand up in it, and it's all around, it's just a little bit more of a difficult difficult shelter to build, but it is going to give more protection from the wind and the rain.
Right.
Now, like I said, all your setup is going to really depend on your location, your environment, and the weather. You know,
it really does. I mean, you really need to kind of check out some different shelters. You know, look around on images on the internet, get ideas, get inspired. There's so many different things where your environment comes into play. A big one is root shelters. When you have a fallen tree and you can use that kind of upturned root.
Right. Again,
even just using a fallen tree, using the long shaft of it as, you know, part of your lean-to structure or something like that, that's going to come into play. Giant rocks. And also, if you're in a really rocky area, you can also build up a shelter with rocks and build up some rock walls.
Yeah.
These all are great, but again, they're affected by your environment. Tropical climates, you know, having the big broad leaves and things that you end up out there, bamboo stuff that you know, you have tons of it and you can cut easily is going to make a big difference. Carrying a knife, having, you know, stuff to help out, you know, I mean, even better, like a machete, something like that, where you can really cut down branches and do stuff. But having these tools available to you is going to make a big difference. That's why it's so important to have a bug out bag or to have, you know, the proper gear when you're going out in the woods or things like that to plan ahead. It's so important to have the right tools with you that you don't end up stuck. You know, that's why having a tarp is such a huge asset. It's going to make it so much easier to build the shelter if you have a tarp available with you, even if you make it sturdy with the environment, but being able to ensure that it's going to be waterproof and do that kind of thing is going to make a big difference.
Yeah. I think a lot of this, you know, when it comes down to it, really involves you going out, getting outside and doing some basic shelter building, doing some basic stuff, you know, even if you're doing it in the backyard where you can, you know, go inside and warm up if you feel like, you know, getting yourself outdoors and doing some of this stuff, you're going to see the mistakes that you're making as you do it. And you're going to, you know, be able to correct it. You don't want to find yourself in a bad situation, lost in the woods and can't figure out how the fuck to get out of there. And you don't know what the fuck to do. And now you're building a shelter for the first time.
Right.
But, you know, my number one recommendation is if you're going into the woods and you're planning on spending the night, bring a fucking tent with you. Bring something with you so that you can take care of yourself. Plan for that shit. And if you get out there and the weather is gorgeous and you have a nice, you know, big pile of dry wood and you can build a nice fire, you know, then you can go ahead and spend 15, 20 minutes and see what you can do about building a shelter. And if it looks like shit, get in the fucking tent. You know, don't be fucking stupid about stuff. But, you know, there's definitely situations that you can find yourself in where you don't have a tent with you. You don't have something easily accessible to you. And it's important to know how to put something together when you're in an emergency situation rather than, you know, trying to figure out what the fuck you're doing when you're already short on food and water.
Don't you just go hang out in the cave? Like the caves that are in the woods? The woods is full, you know, of them,
all
right?
Those caves, all the ones that the cavemen lived in? Yeah, just go find a cave.
They did it for years.
That's right.
But that's the thing. Like, you need to be aware of what's around you and, you know, your environment. And like I said, learn to, you know, go camping in your environment. You know, it's different when you're out in the desert and when you're, you know, when you're in the Arctic in the snow. You know, snow forts sound easy. I know when I did in the Boy Scouts, they have something called the Order of the Arrow. I don't know if they have it anymore, but that was kind of the above and beyond, I don't know, like secret group, right? So they had their own wilderness survival, and I think it may have been the wilderness survival merit badge, I'm not sure, but you had to spend the night out in the woods and on your own. And in my mind, I was like, oh, I'll do it in the winter. That'll be way easier because I can make my fort out of snow. And that'll be so easy. And that was so cold. And, you know, that's the thing. And actually, that's where laying the stuff underneath, you know, makes such a difference. You know, having a camp roll kind of thing underneath there, or, you know, a mattress pad or, you know, like I said, using some pine branches, something to keep you off the wet ground really makes a big difference. But these are the things you learn by doing. When you go out and you spend the time, that's when you realize what works, what doesn't work. How bad is the cold? How tough is it? When you think, oh, I just have to fall asleep and then, you know, it'll be morning and it'll be over and I won't care. But when it's that cold and you wake up every 5 minutes because you're like, oh God, I'm freezing. Oh God, I'm freezing. And it just kind of goes like that. But, you know, so just practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah. Let's talk real quick about locating, you know, how to locate your site for setup.
Okay.
You know, if you're in the woods and you need to find you need to build a shelter. There are a couple of things that you want to look for. If you can find, like Chuck said, the upturned roots of a tree, if you can find something that's going to work as a windbreak, you know, something to keep the wind from blowing on you, something to keep, you know, the rain from blowing into your shelter, whether it's, you know, a rock wall, whether it's a big tree down, or upturned roots, you're going to want to find something that's going to give you a little protection from the environment around you. Second thing you want to do is before you set up your shelter, make sure you're looking up in the air. Make sure there aren't a bunch of dead branches dangling above your shelter that are going to come crashing down on you while you're sleeping. What do they call that? Widowmakers, right?
Widowmaker, yeah.
Broken branches and things like that are hanging above you. You want to be very conscientious that you're not going to have a fucking disaster in the middle of the night and you wake up with a broken leg and a fucking tree sticking through your stomach.
I guess that'd be pretty terrifying if the big, you know, 4-inch thick branch falls down on top of you while you're sleeping and, you know, crashes through the tent. And that's not a good way to wake up.
That's about as bad as
waking up with Folgers, right?
Oh, come on. But when you go out and you're setting up a shed, and you'll see if you go to campgrounds and things like that where they have designated campsites, they're already going to have it set up that way. You know what I mean? There's already going to be, you know, you don't have to think
this area's not going to flood.
Yeah. Right. But if you're in the woods and and you're not familiar with that area, you have to be very conscientious about looking around. I know that I've woken up with, 6 inches of rain or 6 inches of water fucking creeping up into my tent and everything's fucking soggy and a mess because I didn't build my campsite far enough away from the water. You know, it's easy to make stupid mistakes. And when you're out in the middle of nowhere, a stupid mistake can really give you a bad time, you know?
Right. Another thing to consider is building a shelter for your firewood. Setting up your plan for the next day. Again, if you're going to, you know, hey, I'm sleeping here and then I'm on the move in the morning going to my next place, well, that's a different approach. But if you're like, hey, I'm staying here waiting for help or staying here to start setting up something, then finding a place to, you know, keep your firewood dry and that kind of stuff is also, you know, having dry gear and dry fire starting equipment stuff is going to make a big difference in how long, you know, and how successful your adventure is going to be.
Yeah. And this might sound stupid, but I know a lot of the time when I go out into the woods and I'm planning on being out there for a while, I'll even bring dry kindling in my pack. Because when you show up, you don't know what, you know, especially if it rained the day before, you don't know what you're going to find. And you can burn wet wood, but you can't start a fire with wet wood. You have to have something dry with you. A lot of the time when I set up camp and get the fire going, afterwards I'll go find kindling in the area and bring it into the tent or the shelter with me. So when I get up in the morning, I can, you know, get that fire going, you know.
Right. And maybe even dry it out by the fire while you're, you know, enjoying the fire you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you're ready to go in the morning, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Also, you know, so yeah, so you had mentioned, you know, picking out where your campsite's going to be. So like I said, you want to be by a water source. Again, this matters of how long you plan on being there. But you want to be by a water source. You want to be where you can find food. You know, you don't want to be traveling for forever. You want to be close to getting firewood. You want all these things available to you. But again, you also don't want to be in a game trail where freaking, you know, Bambi's going to come running and crash into your tent because he didn't realize you just put it up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have to be a little bit aware of what's going on around you and paying attention.
Right, right.
But that sounds good. That's what I got.
Now, when it comes to stealth camping, before we wrap up and just get back a little bit, you know, it's really nice to have a fire by your tent, especially if it's cold.
Yes.
You really want to have one. But also, you could just not be a limp dick loser and not have a fire. It's okay.
And also how much money you spend on your sleeping bag could come into play here too.
If you have the right gear, you don't need a fire at all. And you can just sit out there in the fucking dark in the woods and nobody's going to see your ass. A fire is going to, you know, even with the trees and in the brush, a fire is going to be seen from a long way off. And it's okay. It's okay to camp out without a fire, especially if you're trying not to be found. That's all I get.
All right. And if you're looking for ideas and videos and pictures and things you could think about with shelters, check out, I know Sigma 3 has cool videos on YouTube. You might think about a Boy Scout handbook. You might think about joining the Boy Scouts if you're a youngin'. You might think about a SAS Survival Handbook. Has a lot of great ideas and inspiration there. Seeing what other people are doing can really, you know, inspire or give you some good ideas. There's a lot of things like, you know, using the pine branches and stuff like that, using sod, different things to, you know, but you need to know your area and, you know, what you can do. Even using leaves to line on top of the branches that you have can add both insulation and, you know, some protection from the wetness. So, you know, check out the different things that people are doing and, you know, get inspired is what I'd say. But the biggest way to learn is to go out and do. So if you enjoyed what you're hearing, you can leave us a review wherever you downloaded this podcast. Really enjoy it. You can go over to patreon.com/preppingbadass. We do have some cool patches that are going to come in sometime, I promise. And they will go out as soon as they're here. And I know I got about 5 of you guys that are out there waiting for yours. So we're working on it. And with that, stay safe and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.